Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we're talking about Son of Kong.
1933.
Which is nuts, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's not, like, as many effects as the first one, but still to make a sequel in the same year.
Right. And, yeah, and, like, how much did they just assume that it was going to be huge, or it was just they liked it so much, like, oh, let's keep going with this. Yeah. Or if it was like, because, like, you know, they're the one of the things about this one, and this one is way more sympathetic.
Yes, it's well, here's the thing is, it's funny that, like, so when we talked about the original King Kong, we noticed that no one really had sympathy for Kong, maybe, and not even Andero, I don't think.
No,
there was no connection. So, and then every Kong since then, you've had come to have the characters either sympathize towards Kong, usually the main female lead. And so that kind of does this. But it seems like, so Denim, we open up on Denim, and he seems like he has some remorse over it, but mostly because he's getting sued, not because the creature was killed.
He's afraid to leave the house because he's constantly getting process served by people.
Yeah. So he doesn't really have remorse or compassion for Kong, but later, I guess, the
a little bit. He has a little bit. There's a little bit where he's like, yeah, maybe has a little bit like, because he's like, I never should have brought you back. But yeah, you the more and more it gets into it, it's like, oh, because everyone's trying to sue him.
Yeah.
At the very beginning, wasn't expecting the NRA logo to show up before the movie started.
Yeah, was it the same NRA, or was it like a National Radio Association or something?
No, it's a rifle.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, and I kind of liked how you saw your cast at the beginning credits.
All of them named by their character's name. Every single one of them.
Well, because you go, oh, cool, Denim's in this, Englehorn's in this, that's great. Oh, no. Chinese cook.
Victor Wong. And we already know him as Charlie.
I know. Everyone calls him Charlie.
And it was the most demeaning.
Yeah.
Well,
it's the second most demeaning. The most demeaning is he cannot do a scene without holding that cleaver in his hand.
Didn't he do that in the first one, though?
Yeah. Well, he was going to go fight. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his signature thing.
Yeah. I'm fine with that, because that just shows he's a cook. He doesn't need to be classified by race.
There's so much.
His name is Charlie.
His name is Charlie. There's so many. There's parts of this. I mean, he's.
Yeah.
He's like the best guy on the ship, but oh man,
he was the one that figured out that Andero got taken. There's a girl in the first there. One. He's
right.
She
got taken, Ray, in the first movie. Right. He finds that there's a girl on the ship in this one. He's not part of the group that does the mutiny.
Yeah, he's very capable, and I don't know if they're, you know, kind of breaking down boundaries by creating this character in such a way where he's, you know, not just kind of a dumb sidekick or whatever, but the fact that they call him Chinese cook is just like, oh, you were right there. You were so, like, close. And the IMDb credit for him, who Victor Wong, it says he's credited as Charlie/Chinese cook. Which I'm sure they had to put in because that's what he was credited as. But, it's a bummer. And even people we don't know yet got their characters' names, you know?
Right.
It wasn't like it said Helen Mack as washed-up actress, you know? Or whatever she was. Wasn't she? Yeah. So
a woman.
White lady. White singer. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, Denim's in a bad spot. He's getting sued.
By the way, that opening pull out, that Kong poster, amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, should look up to see if it's available somewhere, because I'm sure there's a high definition version of this movie where you can screen grab that and futz around with it to get that.
Yeah, it's cool.
So is collecting rags a job?
Yeah. Okay. It is a job. Did they make up the job for this movie?
No, I just didn't know that was a job. It seemed very specific.
Well, the only reason I know was because I think the Kirk Douglas autobiography.
Okay.
Was called Ragman's Son, and that
didn't mean like a ragtime singer or something. Is that why it's called ragtime? Was there a specific point where they were collecting rags?
From the time of rags? Collecting?
I guess. I don't know. This is the first I've heard of rag collecting, and I just mentioned ragtime, so I just put two and two together. They seem to be about the same era, right? I don't know. I don't want to look up ragtime.
That I don't know.
Okay. Well, that dude's a rag collector, and he secretly...
It's not the same...
era.
It's not the same use of the word rag, first of all.
Okay.
I think. Ragtime is not... I think it's based... Is like the rhythm is ragtime, I believe. Man, maybe we shouldn't get into this.
I won't get into it. I was just going to say, if it was my job, I would leave the house every morning saying, "Up, it's ragtime."
But a ragman is like the goodwill.
Yeah.
Essentially, he collects old clothes.
Salvation
and old
Army
stuff. That's basically what a ragman does.
Okay.
That guy was great.
Yeah.
He's like where the guy's like, well, he has a great line where he's like, "Mr. Denham, I'm an artist." Because he's like the best process server ever.
Yeah.
I wish I'd left him on his island. Old Kong, I'm sure paying for what I did to you.
Exactly. He's paying for what he did to him. Yeah. He gets Kong killed. He doesn't wish he left him there because he murdered the ape.
He sneaks him out under a wash basin, basically.
Uh-huh.
He has overalls on over his suit. Very troubling monkey act.
Yeah, I was like, oh man. I'm like, I'm sure Jorge's gonna have issues with this, and I'm like, I kind of have issues with this, and but there was one of the monkeys that made me laugh, and it was like, oh man, I kind of like that. I think it was the one playing the cello. I don't remember, but it was troubling. And
he would slow down and then speed up and speed up.
Yeah.
And like the parts when they pause and just kind of go, they may start. It's like they're making noises. Like what? Are they communicating with each other? By the way, another thing, Charlie's like the only one who's enthusiastic at the show.
Yeah.
He's the only audience member that's, you know, clapping for people.
And then what's it's Helen Mack. What's her character name? I don't remember. But Helen Mack was, she was, everyone had a problem with her singing. I guess she wasn't a good singer. I found it entertaining. And Charlie found it entertaining. I'm gonna come out and say it. I really like Helen Mack. I think she was adorable.
She was tough.
Yeah, she was. I liked her character a lot because a lot of the when the circus burnt down, I'm like, oh man, what about those monkeys?
Oh yeah.
And then she ran in and saved them. And
she saved the monkeys, the seals, the sea lions. She opened all the cages.
And then it was funny because it was like, I don't remember her screaming or fainting once in the movie. Seemed kind of more, she was more tough, rough and tumble. Tough. Yeah.
But she's sitting there trying to catch the monkeys again. And she's like, yeah, my dad died. Just like tough, just stoic.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, what a tough break.
And she says, she decides, they're not going to come back. She just lets the monkeys go, which is good, which is better, you know, a better message than what happened in the first Kong where Fay Wray is just like, I hate this thing. I'm just going to scream at it all the time and faint and pass out and be happy when it's dead.
This is interesting, too. Denham is the leading man in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, he's the romantic lead, even though it doesn't, you know,
it only really kind of comes up at the end of the movie.
He keeps calling a kid and keeps acting like more of a caretaker than anything.
Yeah.
He doesn't even kiss her, I don't think.
They don't at the end?
Do they at the very end?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember.
I feel like there's a lot of, like, just a lot of hugs and arm arounds. And not,
they're
both,
they're just very supportive.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like her. I like her a lot.
She, first of all, her dad drinks with the guy who's, he's an old captain from a different boat. He's the one who, we find out later that he's the one who told Denim about basically Skull Island. Her dad wants to drink with him because he's like one of the only white people around. Well, he's a white man, somebody to talk to. That's the whole thing. And that ends up getting him. So, in a way.
Gets him killed and the place burnt down and kind of thrusts her into onto Denim's ship. Well, she kind of stows away. There's a couple of things.
Yeah, and it's not like we didn't see that coming.
Yeah, we knew that. See, there's an interesting thing that happens when they're traveling by the boat, and you just see like country names in the wake of the boat floating by.
Yeah.
And we didn't really get into the natives on the island, but I think we all know.
Yeah, but I think some of the same actors. You mean in the other island?
That's right. It's the other island. That's right.
But yeah, it's an interesting using the wake of the boat was kind of interesting in that it instead of like doing like a map that follows everything along or whatever.
And this kind of follows the same formula where you know we instead of getting all the kind of the character stuff on the boat, it's nice that they stopped off at an island. It kind of gave it a different look, but you kind of have this thing where it's like, well, let's just get to Skull Island already.
Right.
But if they had all this sort of character stuff on the boat, it would have been probably more boring.
And they were planning on going to Skull Island.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's something about both Denim and the captain being like kind of something about Skull Island kind of draws them.
Yeah.
Because there's that part where Denim says, I wonder how close we are to Skull Island. And he says exactly how close they are to it.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I found the old chart last night. And I was like, that's interesting that they're kind of like almost like the side that's kind of like yearns for adventure kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Hilda's like talking tough to that other guy, the captain guy, the guy who, Hellstrom.
Yeah.
Who killed her dad, and she's like, I'm going to tell the magistrate and stuff. And so then, obviously, there's this thing about when they're both in the same boat, too.
Mm-hmm.
The magistrate scene when she's, like, confronting him after she's like, you know, how do you know I didn't see you? Or it's like, you weren't there. It says, how do you know if I wasn't there? If you know, it's like, oh. They really made it, try to make it overly sinister sounding.
And she was definitely onto him, so, you know. She's a lot smarter than the Fay Wray character as well. Like, she was kind of being a detective on this whole thing.
They made real lot of efforts to make sure they got people's facial reactions to things.
Yeah. That was kind of a thing back then,
cut,
right?
Cut, and cut, face, and a lot of mugging.
Yeah. We get to Kong 43 minutes into the movie, which isn't too bad. But, there's only, like, 25 minutes left after that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a very long movie. It was like an hour and 8 minutes or hour and something like that. But all the Skull Island stuff I like. It all has that really cool sort of black and white hazy look, and the comp shots
are all great.
Like really good. I don't know what they had in 1933 that like later movies couldn't do. I don't know if like sort of like split screen or blue screen technology works better with black and white. It's easy. Is it easier to hide the matte lines and stuff?
Oh, I'm sure.
Because they did some stuff like where do you see Kong in the mud? It's like, where does the set start and where does the mud start?
Yeah, I think the bet. What's their strongest thing is the way they can incorporate the using the fake hand.
Yeah.
Using the hand and then comping it with the model.
Yeah.
Looks
even better this time.
So good.
Yeah, there's nothing beats like a giant real hand And you could tell that's how they do it, but it's like the animation matching up with the live action motions is like perfect.
Yeah.
We get a couple fights in here. Well, we get the first of the, I think the first thing we see is like this, it's like a Triceratops sort of creature going after Charlie and, was it Hellstrom?
Yes.
And Triceratops takes the gun and eats it.
Yeah.
Which I thought was going to like blow its head off. And then they start kind of hacking away at the Triceratops with the meat cleaver.
With the cleaver, right.
Yeah. Yeah. All that stuff was really cool. The Triceratops animation and them being in the cave and stuff. I thought all that worked really nice. There's a kind of a weird dinosaur later that I couldn't quite figure out what it was. It's like a real noodly sort of,
yeah,
sort of, I don't know. It's like a dragon.
Yeah.
Brontosaurus. Yeah. Yeah. But we saw Kong versus a giant bear.
Yeah. That. Yeah.
Which it's funny that I don't think of any other kaiju movie where
there's a bear.
Template is a bear.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
And it's because we talk about kaiju monsters with fur, and you have Kong, King Caesar, and then I mean I guess Mothra, but there aren't really a lot of like hairy kaiju monsters, and it's weird. But to see Kong versus a bear was. Was I was like, oh man, this is definitely something I haven't seen before, and it's a really good fight, and Kong uses the tree like a bat.
Yeah, and there's also like headlock and punches.
Yeah, it's more of that kind of tumble. I feel like the bear fight is the like this movie's version of the T-Rex fight.
Right,
a lot of tumbling and grappling
for sure. Yeah, it's definitely like a lot of wrestling moves.
Yeah.
So part where like Kong gets like his head rattled and like his eyes crossed.
Yeah, this Kong is more expressive, more childlike,
goofy,
not as big, but I like it. I like it. It's got the white fur, sort of like George in Rampage.
Yeah,
they took a whole different look.
Yeah, and when Kong first defeats the bear, he then starts like, because Kong, little Kong, he's very like. He's more like chimp expressive, like his voice is more like a chimp sound. Yeah. And he essentially almost like he tries to talk to him, like, hey, see what I did for you?
Yeah.
And then the bear comes back. and then Kong is very like receptive to whatever they're, he hurts his finger in the fight, and they do the old where you rip a piece of the slip and use it as a bandage.
So yeah. It's
pretty classic.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're trying to pull coconuts out, and Kong's right there. Kong keeps hovering around them.
Yeah, and he's trying really hard to like let them understand that he wants to be friendly.
Yeah,
but Denim's not sure. Hilda is it? She's
Hilda.
She's definitely on the side of little Kong.
Yeah, like he's like because Denim was like, oh, he's an animal. How can he?
So he like, hasn't really learned anything. From his first adventure, maybe to, you know, treat the animals with more respect. So I don't know.
But, yeah, it's even like when at night and they're sitting by the fire, and then Hilda goes to sleep, and Kong's just sneaking around the rock. He's like, oh, he's hiding behind the rock.
It's interesting because if like you think about it, this is clearly the son of Kong, and Kong is dead, so Denim orphaned this creature,
right?
And still no real sympathy towards it. He sort of kind of, well, I mean, at the end of the movie, he gets more of an appreciation to Little Kong. But we'll get to that in a bit.
Yeah. It's curious. It definitely was, it is interesting how it's like, there is a sense of like pendulum swing in this movie of going like way more sympathetic for the monkey. Way and the monkey is way more protagonist, way more on the side of, you know, we don't know why Kong wants to help them so much.
Yeah.
But he does. And it's not.
It could just be lonely.
Yeah, it seems like it. It's like, in a way.
There's no family anymore.
He's got no, it's his only social interaction he's had.
Yeah.
Either that or it's because they saved him from the quicksand the first time. He's like indebted forever.
Yeah.
Maybe. And wherever they go, Kong just follows him along, scratching his head.
Yeah.
They find the temple that's been sealed off, and Kong just kind of pushes the rocks and
helps them out, and they find the treasure, and then that dragon shows up.
Yeah, Kong reaches the jewels for them.
Yeah.
Kong grabs the gun, shoots himself in the hand.
Yeah.
But then that lets him break the gun. Oh, yeah. Right. Right. This is such a generic dinosaur.
Yeah.
I wrote, in comes lizard dinosaur. But yeah. I liked that fight. I liked the way that dinosaur was like, his tail was like, it would wrap around a lot really well. They animated the tail really cool. Kong does like a pile driver on him. And then it gets one last bite in. Like, there's a lot of like, he wins. And then, it comes back for one last bit. And the sea monster kind of looks like the same thing as this thing.
Yeah.
The one that was in the water. And that one eats, what's his name?
Hellstrom. Yeah. Engelhorn is the
captain. He's the captain. Yeah.
Hellstrom.
Yeah. The captain who also speaks the native language of the people of...
Mm-hmm. That was set up in the first one.
And then, out of nowhere, an earthquake happened.
Yeah, this is a bummer.
Like, I thought, unless it's, I mean, in a way, it could have been attributed to the fact that they removed the jewels from the temple.
Like it was a booby trap, like Indiana Jones style. But this takes out this takes out everything.
But this takes, the whole island sinks.
Yeah.
Just gets destroyed. It's a cool visual. I mean, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Seeing how much of that happening.
But it's a sad end for Kong. It's a real bummer. It's worse. I think this is more awful than the first Kong for some reason.
The death?
Yeah, because I feel like the little Kong was trying so hard just to help out and be kind, and he didn't get saved.
Right.
I mean, both deaths suck, but there's something about this. Like, little Kong is a good guy through and through.
Oh, this is awesome. Yeah. Sorry. I'm just looking. In the Wikipedia page for Son of Kong,
mm-hmm.
they identify all the dinosaurs that he fights. They say it's the Styracosaurus is the Triceratops one.
Okay. Yeah, because it didn't really have the pronounced three horns.
It's got the spikes along the fringe bit. And that the dragon-like one that Kong kills is a Nothosaurus.
Okay.
And then the one that's in the water is a Lasmosaurus.
Okay. And then what about the bear? Is it just a bear? You just call it a big bear.
All right. This question. Giant cave bear.
Just Kiko versus... Oh, Kiko. Wait.
What's Kiko?
Oh. Kiko's name may come from combining the first two letters of the words King Kong's name. Kiko is
the name of little
yeah,
King Kong?
Yeah, Kiko is never referred to by name in the film itself, but is called either Little Kong or just Baby. I don't really see where the name came from, but his only appearance is in Son of Kong.
Who named him Kiko?
I don't know. This is according to Gojipedia, Kiko. And I saw it all, because when I was looking up the bear... It said there's a video. The first video that came up said Kiko versus Cave Bear. Huh. I don't know if I could call him Kiko. It's also in the Wikizilla.
Ah,
Kiko.
Kiko production name.
So that was the production name.
They
called him that during the production.
I think they called him Kiko. The production called him Kiko, maybe. But in the film, he's referred to as Little Kong and Baby.
Okay.
It's his production name.
So Willis O'Brien was. Probably just called him Kiko. Huh. I don't know if I like Kiko.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Could be worse. What do you think of this one? It's kind of a short, quick, in and out movie. There's not a lot of Kong action. There's no building destruction.
It's okay.
Yeah. I like the characters. There just wasn't much to it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's not that good, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's got a big girl in it, so...
Yeah.
It gets a pass. It gets an automatic pass.
Yeah. It feels like it kind of got cut short with the earthquake. I feel like they could have come up with a better...
Yeah, that's interesting. And like, it ends pretty abruptly, and it's so given. The last shot of the hand too, the fake, the composite with the hand and getting him in the boat was good too. I guess it's kind of a bummer. Although I didn't fully love, like, I just like King Kong more, but yeah, Kiko was real needy.
Yeah.
But also very helpful.
Yeah.
But it was definitely kind of like the sense of like when the sequel becomes a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely like it was a mix of like adventure, but then also the wackiness, like the coconuts or him sneaking around the rock and he's been there this whole time.
Yeah. Scrappy Doo.
But you never got anyone. He never interacted with anyone else except Denim and Hilda. And it was kind of like,
Yeah, not top five, but I thought it was all right. I enjoyed it.
It's all right. It's only all right.
And it's nice that it's not like, you know, 2 hours long. You know, I never really got bored during it, but that's probably just because of the runtime. I don't have much more to say about it. You want to talk about next episode?
Sure.
I'm pretty excited about it because it's we're dipping back into Ishiro Honda's non-Godzilla pool.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be watching the Mysterians. And really the only thing I know about it is guys in helmets, and I think Mogera is in it. So we look forward to that.
Yeah, they look like Power Rangers.
Yeah. If you want to check out the movie, we'll have a link for you on kaijupod.com. That'll also give you links to Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And look forward to talking about that and watching it. And until next time, I'm going to go watch Hilda's show.
I'm going to go free all the animals from their cages.
Okay. I can help you out with that, too. It was surprised. I was surprised when she opened up the cage and seals came out. Because we didn't see them during the show, right?
No, we didn't see that part of the act.
So I was like, oh.
But they had two. They had a whole act the next day, and I was like, I can't imagine they can do the monkeys just one day after the next.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Oh, I've got the runaway blues. I want to wander away. Oh, I've got the runaway blues today. Don't want to stay. I know that trains are going somewhere and steamers are sailing the blue. They go. But baby, what do I care? 'Cause none of them's going to you.
Poor kid.
I don't want the train on the track.
You know, she's got something.
It certainly isn't a voice.
Voice? Who cares? She's got personality. Somebody'd show her what to do with it.